الله اكبر. بسم الله يا اخوه.
بسم الله. انت بتقول بسم الله خلاص.
هنا يا عدنان. هيا هيا يا اخوه اضرب.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Azam Recordings in London presents to you the first cassette in a series of audio cassettes on real life experiences in jihad and on inspiring accounts of the shuhada, those brothers killed in the way of Allah. Cassette 1, In the Hearts of Green Birds, The Martyrs of Bosnia.
قوافل الشهداء
تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله ويستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم
not of those who are killed in the way of Allah as dead. Nay, they are alive with their Lord and they have provision. They rejoice in what Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounty, rejoicing for the sake of those who have not yet joined them, but are left behind, that on them no fear shall come, nor shall they grieve. They rejoice in a grace and a bounty from Allah, and that Allah will not waste the reward of the believers. As Shaykh Abdullah Azam rahmatullah alayhi said, that Islamic history is not written except with the blood of the shuhada and except with the stories of the shuhada. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the shaheed is given seven special favors from Allah. All his sins are forgiven at the first spurt of his blood. He sees his place in paradise as soon as he is killed. He is saved from the punishment of the grave. He is saved from the great terror on the day of judgment. There is placed on his head a crown of honor, one jewel of which is better than this whole world and what it contains. He's married to 72 of the beautiful women of paradise, and he is given intercession for 70 members of his family, related by Ahmad and Tirmidhi. Abu Zubair al-Madani, Sarajevo Airport, 1992, age 24.
أتذكر يا ابن الصيد إذ كنت بيننا ترفرف في أرجائنا وتورد تذكرنا أن الجهاد فريضة ترددها بين الأنام وتنشد بكل دموع القهر نبكي
Born and brought up in Medina, the love of Islam occupied his youth, and he spent many years learning and spreading the deen of Allah. A very popular brother in Medina, He traveled to Afghanistan to join his brothers in the jihad at the very young age of 17. 6 years he spent in Afghanistan fighting with his brothers in the way of Allah. He was with them when Jaji, Jalalabad and Kabul were captured. After the conquest of Kabul, he returned to Medina and stayed there for a few months. He was blessed with a beautiful voice and he used it to make his famous audio cassette about his brothers killed in Afghanistan. The name of this cassette was Qawafil al-Shuhada, Caravans of Martyrs. He always used to speak and sing about one thing, that is jihad and martyrdom. Once he was asked, why do you hurry for martyrdom, whereas you have not done much for Islam? And he replied, what did my brothers give for Islam who were killed before me? Our souls are the most valuable things that we can give. In the summer of 1992, he heard about the oppression of his brothers and sisters in the Balkans. And he traveled with his brother from Medina, Abu Abbas, to Bosnia. 2 months they stayed there until they fought in the defense of Sarajevo Airport. The fighting was severe and many fighters fled the battlefield except Abu Zubair and Abu Abbas. Abu Zubair and Abu Abbas stayed there and fought to defend Sarajevo Airport against the Egyptian United Nations until they fell down shaheed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept them from amongst the shuhada and to enter them in the Paradise Most High amongst the prophets, the martyrs, the pious, and the truthful.
يقول وماذا قدم إخوان الذين سبقوا إن أرواحنا أغلى ما نقدمه للإسلام فتحت كابل ودخلها المجاهدون فعاد إلى المدينة النبوية وتزامن ذلك مع مذابح المسلمين في البوسنة فلم يقر له القرار أعد العدة وغدا إلى الساحة الجديدة التي سينصر فيها إخوانه المسلمين طار إليها ولم يمكث طويلا فقد سقط شهيدا في إحدى المعارك حول مطار سراييف ورحل هو ورفاقه فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله ويستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم ألا خوف عليهم ولا
هم
Imran al-Turki, Ilyash, 1992. The Turkish brother of American nationality, he was the Amir of all the brothers from Turkey in the frontline base camp where there were two houses for the Arab Mujahideen and one for the Turkish Mujahideen. He used to go and listen to the Dars in the house of the Arab Mujahideen and return to his Turkish brothers and give them the same Dars. He was very humble and pious. He used to search the streets looking for Bosnian orphans so that he could give them money and take care of them. Because at that time, the Christian aid organizations were sneaking the Muslim orphans to Europe and selling them there to make them into disbelievers. And then he heard from his Arab brothers about an operation in a Serbian-held town called Ilyash. He went and joined his brothers in this operation, and he was shot in the stomach 5 times while he was shouting, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Many brothers testified to the smile that was found on his face when his body was found. Abu Maryam Al-Afghani, Ilyash, 1992. Mujahid from Afghanistan, he came to Bosnia in 1992. All the Arabs and Bosnians who saw Abu Maryam said that this is a shaheed. One day he was sitting with his brothers when one of his brothers asked him, Ya Abu Maryam, who will take care of your daughter Maryam after you get killed? He replied in a strong voice, Allah will take care of her. And then he raised his finger to the sky and said, Allah, Allah. And then he started to weep, and all of the brothers with him started to weep with him. He used to rely a lot on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was well mannered. He used to fast a lot, and he never talked much. He was killed in an operation in Ilyash against the Serbs in 1992. His wife, Umm Maryam, was originally German, and she was happy when she heard this news, as she was also a Mujahid woman. She was patient at the news. Abu Maryam's brother wanted to marry her, but she said, whoever marries me has to fulfill one condition, and that condition is that he will stay with me for 15 days, then he will go for jihad. Abu Maryam's brother refused this condition. Her sister, who was also a non-Muslim, accepted Islam when she saw the patience of her sister. Now, alhamdulillah, Umm Maryam is married and her husband is in the jihad. Abu Sahar Al-Ha'ili, Travnik, 1993. Abu Sahar was from the city of Ha'il in the north of the Arabian Peninsula. A very brave and patient brother, he was traveling through Travnik with his brothers when they were captured by the Croats. Abu Sahar told his brothers to fight and not to give up. His brothers suggested that they should give up now, as maybe they would be released later. While they were being held, the Croats saw that the Kalashnikov of Abu Sahar was on and ready to fire. They shot him with 5 bullets. While he was shouting, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept him from amongst the shuhada. Abu Ali Al-Kuwaiti, Travnik, 1993.
يا أخي يا أخي يا إخوتي.
A first lieutenant in the Kuwaiti Air Force. He was a very well-mannered brother and one who used to call the people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was very much loved by all of his brothers, the Arabs and the Bosnians. His speciality was the 120mm mortar. He was also captured with his brother Abu Sahar al-Ha'ili, and under torture he would show a great deal of patience. One of the brothers who was captured with him. That if you try to cry or show pain, they would stop the torture. Abu Ali replied, "No, inshallah, I will never cry." While he was in prison, the Kuwaiti Air Force fired him from his job. When Abu Ali heard the news, he said, "Alhamdulillah." A few months later, he was released in the prisoner exchange, and then after that, he joined another operation with his brothers against the Croats. He was in a minefield during the operation, and his whole leg was blown off by the mine while he was shouting, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." Abu Mu'adh al-Qatari, Abu Saleh al-Qatari, Abu Abdullah al-Qatari, Abdullah Afendi al-Busnawi. Abu Mu'adh al-Qatari was 21 years old and a hafiz of the Quran. He had a lot of Islamic knowledge, a commander in Afghanistan, and the son of a very rich businessman in Qatar. He used to fast one day and not fast the next. He would pray all night long and walk through the villages giving da'wah all day with his brothers Abu Saleh al-Qatari and Abu Abdullah al-Qatari. Abu Saleh al-Qatari was a very lovable brother by both the Arabs and the Bosnians. Abu Mu'adh was also captured by the Croats when he went the wrong way in Travnik, but he was later released in the prisoner exchange. Once he was making his way to Sarajevo with his brothers Abu Saleh and Abu Abdullah al-Qatari, when they met one Bosnian brother, Abdullah Afendi. Abdullah Afendi said to them, "I will come to Sarajevo with you." And he went back and he told his wife that he saw the three of them last night and that all of them were shaheed. While they were on their way to Sarajevo, they were met by one or two vehicles of the Bosnian army. These vehicles were carrying heavy weapons. They started shooting at the car in which the brothers were traveling in. And after 15 minutes, none of the brothers shot back because they were either killed or very badly injured. When the firing stopped after 15 minutes, Abu Mu'adh al-Qatari opened the car door. He was injured very badly and he started shooting at the Bosnians, killing five of them and injuring four. The Bosnian communists The Bosnian communists were very surprised at what he did, and they did not move at all. When his magazine finished, he was unable to replace it due to his injuries. The communists caught him and they shot him. He was killed on Friday morning at 11 o'clock, and the smell of musk was emanating from his body. The wife of Abdullah Afendi said, "2 days these brothers spent in our house, and they were very respectable, well-mannered people. And so she buried her husband with them." يا إخوتي ماذا نقول أم حزننا جلب البكاء جلب البكاء على صحبة عن المحبة والإخاء. Oh my brothers, what can we say? Because without grief, our tears are coming out. Our tears are coming out on a friendship that was based on love and brotherhood. Abu al-Haris al-Bahraini, Ilyash, 1992, age 23.
الحور تهتف بهجة زف الشهيد والحور تأبى.
He spent a long time in Afghanistan and he came to Bosnia in 1992. He used to laugh a lot and make all his brothers laugh and have a good time. A very lovable brother, loved both by the Arabs and the Bosnians. He used to sing jokingly with his brothers, "My beloved brother." Always happy and jolly in the daytime, having a nice time with his brothers. However, in the night, his brothers used to hear him cry all the time while he was praying. He used to put kohl in his eyes. One time, while the Mujahideen were in the operation of Ilyash against the Serbs, he put kohl in his eyes and he asked his brothers to do the same. He was the second one killed in the battlefield. They could not bury him due to the severity of the fighting and the widespread presence of snow, so they put his body inside the trunk of a tree. Dawood al-Bradani, David Sinclair, 1993, age 29. Born and brought up in the UK, he started his job in Hill Samuel Computer Consultancy, and one day he walked in wearing Islamic dress. Upon being asked why he was wearing this dress, he replied to his work colleagues that "I have become a Muslim." 1 week later, he was fired from his job and he went to Bosnia with two other brothers. He was traveling with two passports. As soon as he arrived in Bosnia, he gave one of them away to a brother in need. A few months later, he gave the other one away too. After 4 months, his brothers were returning to Britain for a few months, and they asked him to come with them. He refused, saying, "What is there for me to do in the land of the disbelievers?" A very calm and quiet brother, funny at the same time. He loved guarding his brothers on the mountain, in the snow and cold weather. A very fast learner of Islam and the Arabic language, he loved to keep all the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to sleep on his right hand side in a crouched position. He used to pray all night long and fast most of the days. Commander Abu al-Haris, rahmatullah alayhi, said about him that all of us knew that Brother Dawood would be the next shaheed amongst us, as he was getting higher and higher and higher in his iman and taqwa. The night before the operation, Dawood had a dream in which he saw himself running in a place with palaces on either side. He asked, "Who do these houses belong to?" And it was said to him, these are the houses of the Shuhada. He asked, where is the house of Abu Ibrahim, the Turkish brother from Britain who was shot dead by the French United Nations in Sarajevo airport? A voice said to him, the house of Abu Ibrahim is over there. And so in the dream, Dawood began to run towards the house of his friend Abu Ibrahim. And then he fell down and woke up from his sleep. In the morning, there was a large operation against the Croats. During this operation, while he was running, he was killed by a single shot to the heart. He fell down and his body rolled down to the Croat bunkers below. After 3 months, his body was returned to the Mujahideen. It was as new, it was bleeding and smelling of musk. His body was found crouched on the right-hand side. Abu Muslim al-Turki, summer 1993, age 51. A Turkish brother who lived all his life in Britain, but who lived the life of a disbeliever. He was married to an English woman, and he did not use to pray, nor did he use to practice anything from Islam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to the straight path. And then he heard about the situation in Bosnia. He said to himself that I must go to Bosnia and I must repent to Allah and I must fight against the Serbs, as maybe Allah will forgive me for all that I have done in the past. In one operation against the Croats, the Amir did not pick him due to his old age. And Abu Muslim began to cry, not to weep, but he began to wail like a baby until he forced the Amir to let him take part in this operation. He was shot by a dum-dum bullet in his arm, which broke the bone, and metal had to be placed in his arm for a period of 6 months. Abu Muslim used to exercise his arm a lot, and after 45 days, the doctor said that they can remove the metal. Everyone was surprised that how come the metal can be removed after only 45 days. Before one of the large operations against the Croats, he saw a dream in which he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Abu Muslim began to kiss his feet. Rasulullah said to him, do not kiss my feet. Then he began to kiss his hands. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, do not kiss my hands. Then Rasulullah asked him, what do you want, Abu Muslim? Abu Muslim replied, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for me that tomorrow in the operation I am killed shaheed. Before the operation, the Amir Commander Abu al-Harith rahmatullah alayh was picking the people to take part in this operation. He refused to let Abu Muslim take part on the grounds that he was still injured and had not yet recovered. A brother who was present at that time said, I swear to Allah that Abu Muslim cried and cried like a baby. And he said to the Amir, fear Allah and I will hold you responsible on the day of judgment. The brother said to him, do not shout and cry so loud, because maybe the enemy will hear you. And Abu Muslim replied, by Allah, if you do not put me in the operation, Abu al-Harith, I will cry so loudly that the whole country will hear me. He said to the Amir, put me in the operation, even at the back as the last one in this operation. And the Amir said to him, are you sure I will put you right at the back? He said, put me anywhere in the operation, right at the back, but include me in this operation. And so Abu Muslim went and took part in this operation. And even though he was right at the very back, the course of the fighting changed so that the back became the front. And he was the second one killed in the operation by bullets in his heart. His body was returned by the Croats after 3 months, along with his brother from England, Daoud. It was smelling of musk, and no change had come over his body. All of the brothers that were there witnessed that his body had become even more beautiful and white since the last time they saw it. The voice of Abu Muslim al-Turki when he was discussing something with another brother. Jamaluddin, Yemeni, 1993, age 19. Jamaluddin, Yemeni, 1993,
age 19. قد خلته من فرط وجهك مأتما عيد مضى من عمرنا وتكرما من يرجع العيد البهيج الباسم.
During an operation against the Croats, Jamaluddin's Kalashnikov jammed, and with his pistol he killed 2 Croats. During the shelling which followed the victory of the Muslims, a mortar bomb landed next to him and killed him, blowing away half of his body. After the operation, the Mujahideen went to collect the bodies of all their brothers who were killed. They found all of the bodies except the body of Jamaluddin. 3 days went by and there was anxiety in the whole camp of the Mujahideen, as maybe the Croats had got the body of Jamaluddin and were mutilating it. This went on for 3 days, and then before Salat al-Fajr, the Amir of the Mujahideen at that time, Wahyuddin Musri rahmatullah alayh, had a dream in which he saw himself speaking to Jamaluddin. He asked him, "Jamaluddin, Jamaluddin, where is your body? We have been looking for it for 3 days." Jamaluddin replied, "Allah is taking care of my body." Wahyuddin asked him, "Where have you been, Jamaluddin?" Jamaluddin replied that, "I have been speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." "What did he say to you?" Wahyuddin asked him. Jamaluddin replied, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me, 'Jamaluddin, why did you come to Bosnia?' And I said to him that, 'Ya Allah, I came here only to please you.' And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, 'This day I forgive you all of your sins, and you may fly in Jannah wherever you please.'" Abu Saif al-Shahrani, Abu Hamad al-Utaybi, Biala Bucha, 1993. Abu Saif was a soldier in the Saudi Arabian army. One day his mother was sitting at home and she saw the news on the television reporting the genocide of the Muslims in Bosnia. When she saw this, she said to Abu Saif, "My son, get up and go." Look what they are doing. They are raping our sisters and killing our brothers. My son, get up and go. I don't want to see you again. Abu Saif traveled to Riyadh to meet his traveling companion, Abu Hamad al-Utaybi. Together they traveled to Bosnia. They arrived at the camp of the Mujahideen on a Wednesday after a long and difficult journey. By this time they had become very close friends, and all the Mujahideen came to know about the love and brotherhood between Abu Saif and Abu Hamad. They finished training and arrived in the front line village Bialabucha on a Wednesday. During their first night, Abu Khalid al-Qatari, rahmatullah alayh, narrated, Abu Hamad came to me at 1 o'clock in the middle of the night and woke me up. He said to me, Abu Khalid, get up. One prayer in this night is better than this whole world and everything in it. Abu Khalid al-Qatari got up and went to make wudu. When he returned, he looked for Abu Hamad but could not find him. And then he went into a small room in a corner of the house where the weapons were kept. He entered this room and he saw Abu Hamad in sijda in a corner of the room, praying and crying, Allahumma rzuqni shahada, Allahumma rzuqni shahada. Oh Allah, bless me with martyrdom. Oh Allah, bless me with martyrdom. Abu Hamad came to Bosnia despite a severe medical problem that would cause him immense pain and keep him up at night. Some brothers even heard him crying and banging on the walls in the middle of the night. Abu Hamad always used to bring water from the well for his brothers, whether it was his duty or not. One night, the Serbs launched an attack on the village, so the Mujahideen went out to fight them. Abu Saif was at the front of the group, Abu Hamad was near the back. A 120mm shell came and landed near Abu Hamad. It took off his mouth and throat. Abu Hamad fell to the floor and raised his right index finger 3 times, keeping it up on the last time before Allah took his soul. All of the Mujahideen agreed not to tell Abu Saif, as he would surely be very sad and grief-stricken upon hearing the news. When Abu Saif met the rest of the brothers after the explosion, he asked them where Abu Hamad was. The brothers replied to him that he had to go back to the village, but he sent a PK machine gun for Abu Saif. Abu Saif was very happy and took the PK. In the operation, he was at the front and he killed many Serbs with his PK before he was shot with 2 bullets to the head and 1 to his heart. Abu Saif looked around for something in the sky for a few moments. The brothers were puzzled as to why he was doing this, and then he fell down into sijda, still holding Abu Hamad's PK. He stayed in this position for a few seconds, saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Someone tried to take his gun from him, but he was holding it too tightly. He did not release his gun until he was killed. Abu Saif and Abu Hamad were buried together in one grave, like the two companions who were killed shaheed in a battle at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah commented saying, they loved each other in this world and they shall love each other in the hereafter. Abu Khalid al-Qatari, 1993. Member of the Qatar national handball team, he came to Bosnia at the end of 1992. He used to love doing double guard duty shifts for 4 hours in the cold weather. He was a very humble and very pious brother. He was of black descent, but brothers described his face like a glowing lamp because of the shine and nur on his face. He had 2 large marks of prostration on his forehead due to prolonged prostration as he used to pray all night long. Once he was asked, when will you return back to your home country? And he replied, I want to be shaheed here. Before one operation against the Croats, as soon as he was picked by the Amir, He said to the brother next to him, "Inshallah, this time Allah will take me as shaheed." As he was traveling in a car with five other brothers, of them Wahyuddin Misri, the Amir of the Mujahideen, rahmatullah alayh, they took a wrong turning and ventured 7 kilometers into enemy territory. The Croats shot at the car with anti-aircraft weapons and it flew 20 feet into the air. All of the five brothers got out and fought until they were killed. After 2 months, when their bodies were returned to the Mujahideen, the brothers were able to identify four of them, but they could not identify the body of Abu Khalid al-Qatari. When the Bosnian army general said to them, "This is your last man," they looked at the body and they saw that this body was that of a white person with a white face. And they replied, "This is not our man." Upon looking carefully at this body, they pulled down his shirt. From below the neck downwards, it was black. They pulled up his sleeves and they found that above the elbows, the skin was black, and below the elbows, it was white. Then they pulled up his trousers, where they found that his feet were white, but the skin above his ankles was black. One of the brothers commented by saying, as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes about the signs of the believers on the day of resurrection, the marks of wudu were shining white on the body of Abu Khalid al-Qatari. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him amongst the shuhada. Abu Khalid in a conversation with Abu Saif al-Shahran. Wahyuddin Misri, 1993. A very experienced fighter and trainer from Afghanistan. He came to Bosnia at the very start of the war with his two brothers, Husamuddin and Mu'taz, from Peshawar. He was the Amir of the Mujahideen in Bosnia, a very professional soldier and very military minded. He was very pious and very humble, even though he was the Amir. After the prisoner exchange in 1993, when the United Nations arbitrator asked to shake his hand, he refused by saying, "I do not shake hands with the disbelievers." He was a very brave brother, and after this prisoner exchange, he said to his people that after this day, any mujahid that is captured by the Croats must fight until he is killed and not allow himself to be captured. 2 weeks later, he was in the same car as Abu Khalid al-Qatari, rahmatullah alayh, when they went into enemy territory and were ambushed by the Croats. He got out with his brothers and fought until he was killed. When his body was returned to the Mujahideen, after spending 3 months under the ground, it was still bleeding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept Wahyuddin Misri amongst the shuhada.
Carrying on about the shaheed, the shuhada, they all different. Some of them they fast in the extra fast. Some of them pray in the night. Some of them memorize a lot of Quran. But it's something that they all have in common, and that's they have sincerity to Allah, and they do not have any grudge against any Muslims anywhere. This is something you see in every single brother that is shaheed. You see them; they have sincerity and no grudge against the Muslims. But one brother, for instance, he'd wake up in the middle of the night And not just to make tahajjud, like some other brothers, mashallah, other brothers make tahajjud, but he wakes up in the middle of the night to clean the toilets and to fix them, clean the masjid, so that nobody can see him doing these things. So that he can be sure that his deed is for Allah only, but nobody can see him. And people say, you know, well, you're going to go to Bosnia, what can you do? What can you do?
Abu Abdullah Libi, the Black Lion, commander of Operation Black Lion, 27th of May, 1995.
When you sit with him, if you had food placed before you, he wouldn't eat any of the food. Even though he was very hungry, he wouldn't eat any of the food until somebody else took some first. That's how that was his manners. He was the encapsulation of the ayah of the Quran, where Allah talks about the believers, where he says that they are merciful to each other and tough and strong and hard against the kuffar. He wasn't a loud brother, but quiet brother, always doing his work what he had to do. Because of this, he commanded respect from the brothers. The brothers respected him, even though he didn't speak much, but his actions, they spoke louder than his words. It reminds me of the hadith Qudsi, when Allah loves somebody, Allah says to the angels, to the angel Jibreel, love him. And the angel Jibreel calls out to all the people of the earth, they say, love him. This is like his brother. All the brothers, they love this man. This brother, he led a reconnaissance mission, which took 7 months across a 3 kilometer range of mountains. These mountains were extremely strategical. It's of extremely strategical value to the Serbs. This brother, he spent 7 months making reconnaissance along these mountains, going in the night, going in the day, all times of weather, going by himself, switching his radio off and sneaking, sometimes even so close to the Serb bunkers that they would throw rubbish on him without even knowing that he was there. So his brother, he knew these 3 kilometers but like the back of his hand. So after 7 months of reconnaissance on these three mountains, the mission took place. And alhamdulillah, Allah gave us those three mountains within a time span of 6 minutes. And many Serbs were killed and many weapons were captured from the Serbs. And in this mission, after the operation had finished and after the victory had taken place, Dula Libi, he was killed by a sniper bullet fired by a Serb.
Abu Zaid al-Qatari, Operation Black Lion, May 1995, age 17.
And his brother,
Subhanahu is so young, but so innocent. And this brother, he even saw the Hurul Ayn, not in his sleep, but in his guard duty from his position in the mountain. Every night as he used to look in the sky, he used to see a woman come to him, a beautiful figure of a woman. And he never told anybody about this except for one brother, and this brother told us afterwards. And this brother, he would kill four Serbs before he was shaheed himself. And there's many, many instances of the Salaf, in the Salaf, and in the time of the Prophet himself, where the Hurul Ayn would come and appear themselves, manifest themselves to the Muslims as a glad tidings, and as a glad tiding for them to make them steadfast in this path.
Muhammad Badawi, Operation Black Lion, May 1995.
This brother was such a beautiful brother. He used to love his brothers and work so hard. I remember once he held me and he kissed me on the head, and he did it in such a way that the way he did it, I felt so, subhanAllah, it made me feel so good. And this brother, before the operation, he must have known that he was going to be shaheed, because before the operation he started to give everything away. He divided his money amongst the brothers, he gave all his possessions away. And then the day of the operation, in the battle itself, as the brothers were making the attack, he fell down, he was shot, he got hit in the chest and he fell down. And he said to some brothers next to him, if only I'd been here, pointing to his forehead. And within the same next few seconds, a bullet came and hit him just where he's been pointing, in the forehead, and he fell shaheed. Exactly as the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Bedouin came to the Prophet and they gave him his share of the ghanima, and they said to him, this is your share of the ghanima. And he came to the Prophet and said, what's this? I didn't come to join you, but to not to gain this. I came to join you to be shot here. And he pointed to his throat by an arrow. And the next day, this Bedouin, he was killed by an arrow in the same place where he had pointed. And he pulled his body.
Abu Bakr al-Libi, 1995.
This brother, again, of impeccable character, loving his brothers, not having any grudge, and sincere in his work. This brother, he was making guard duty, and they, Qadr Allah, a rocket landed right next to him, and the shrapnel went straight inside his neck, and he died shortly afterwards, 5, 10, 15 minutes afterwards, his brother was dead. So the brothers, they buried him, but not knowing which direction the Qibla was, they buried him in the wrong direction, because the body has to be buried facing Qibla. So after a month, the Sheikh said, we have to dig him up and bury him properly, bury him in the right direction. So after a month, we dug the grave, and the land in Bosnia is much the same sort of land as we have in England. Actually, it's more waterlogged. And as we dug it up, we saw his body was still intact, not even smelling or rotting or anything. And blood was still coming from his wound, which he had in his neck. And this is amazing, because if you see, I've seen Serbs, dead Serbs, which after 1 hour have started to smell. You cannot even approach these bodies, and after a day they've become black, as black as charcoal, a white person becoming black. And after a week, there's a skull. So for this brother to be I'm telling you now, this is for bodies that are on top of the ground. This brother was buried under the ground for 1 month, and he was completely intact, not even mine.
Abdullah Shaybani from the Arabian Peninsula, Operation Black Lion, May 1995, age 19.
His brother, he was very young, 19 years of age, and he was a very, very joyful brother, good manners.
And in the attack, as they were making the attack, he and another brother, called Abu Muslim from Yemen, as they were running side by side, almost side by side, a few meters in between them, they both fell down injured. Both of them had been shot. And Abu Muslim, he was like in pain. It's kind of like almost not screaming, but maybe moaning. And Abdullah Shaybani looked across at him, and he also had been shot. And he said to Abu Muslim, he said to him, hope for your reward from Allah. Hope for your reward from Allah. Forget the pain. And hope for your reward from Allah. He said this to him, shahada across him. And they took the brothers to the hospital, and Abu Muslim, alhamdulillah, Allah gave him a quick and speedy recovery. But the brother Abdullah Shaybani, his injuries were of severe nature, and Allah took him a shaheed in the hospital after a few days. And as he died in the hospital, the perfume, it filled the aroma of the perfume again, filled the whole hospital room. And the people that were there witnessed this. And this is a sure sign of his shahada, and a sign for the brothers as well, that this is the right path that they are on. And another brother said,
Abu Mu'adh al-Kuwaiti, Adil al-Ghanim, commander of foreign volunteers and commander of Operation Miracle, 21st of July, 1995. A member of a very rich family from Kuwait and also an Olympic athlete, he went to Afghanistan to fight and remained there on and off for 6 years. He would spend a few months in Afghanistan and then return to Kuwait to inspire the people and raise funds for the Mujahideen. He would get up after the prayers and give speeches about the situation in Afghanistan to incite the people. Despite his wealth, he never used to send his clothes to the laundry, but would wash them himself. He used to drive a simple car. He came to Bosnia in 1994 and soon became the commander of the foreign volunteers. A very humble and pious brother, he had the ability to interpret dreams. In Operation Miracle, he was very sad at being placed in the back and not being placed in the attack group. After the operation was successful, Abu Mu'adh went up to the top of the mountain and began to organize the Mujahideen groups. He was then shot by a single shot to the upper leg and fell down shaheed. 4 days later, one brother saw him in a dream in which Abu Mu'adh came back to the mosque of the Mujahideen. The brother narrated, "I saw Abu Mu'adh meeting all the brothers, and everyone was very happy at seeing him. He had a bandage on his upper leg in the same place where he was shot. However, I was very angry at how Abu Mu'adh is here when he is supposed to be shaheed. So I went up to him, shook his hand and asked him, 'Abu Mu'adh, why are you here? Are you shaheed or not?' He turned away as if he was hiding something. Soon, when everyone else was busy amongst themselves, he slowly began walking backwards to the exit of the mosque. I knew he was going to try to escape, so I waited for him at the exit. He left the mosque and went outside. And then I saw a large dish come beneath his feet, which began to raise him up towards the sky. I then ran up to him and grabbed his leg and said, 'Abu Mu'adh, please tell me, are you shaheed or not?' He replied, 'Yes, I am shaheed.' I asked him, 'What is it like?' He said, 'On the day of the operation, a window opens in the sky from paradise, and all of the Mujahideen that are killed that day enter through this window straight into paradise.' I asked him, 'What does the actual moment of the martyrdom feel like?' He replied that you don't feel a thing. As soon as you are killed, two beautiful blonde-haired young girls come and sit beside you to escort you up into paradise.' I asked Abu Mu'adh, 'What is paradise like?' He replied, 'It is not paradise, it is many paradises.' I said, what about the enjoyment and pleasure? Abu Mu'adh replied, every day and every place. Abu Mu'adh then said, now let me go. I asked him, Abu Mu'adh, one last thing. Can you tell me when I am going to be shaheed? And he replied, I cannot tell you that. I asked him, can you at least come to me in a dream a few days before I am going to be killed? Abu Mu'adh said, I will try. Now let me go. And he went up on that dish into the sky.
Knew the obligation he had. He spent 6 years in Afghanistan. After Afghanistan finished, he came to Bosnia. His brother, he used to speak very fast, but when he speaks, he used to give us lessons, Islamic lessons, and news of what was going on in Bosnia. And when he speaks, he makes you feel so good. You feel like as if he makes you feel so good. Even if it's the worst news that he's given you, you feel so happy to hear him. Because of his good manners and his organizational skills of the brothers, they chose him to be the emir of the Ansar. A gift that Allah had given him was that he could give tafsir of dreams. So the brothers would go to him and tell him their dreams, and he would tell them what this would mean. And very often they would come with pinpoint accuracy. This brother, he would work night and day in the service of the rest of the brothers. And in the second operation, Allah took him a shaheed, inshaAllah. Abu
ولكن فضل الله سبحانه وتعالى يأتيه من يشاء. إن الله سبحانه ينصر عباده المؤمنين وينصر عباده المجاهدين بأن نكون من المطيعين لله سبحانه وتعالى. فلأجل ذلك أوصي إخوان بالابتعاد عن المعاصي، وهذه من أول شيء بداية الفتح والنصر إن شاء الله، ألا وهو الابتعاد عن المعاصي. والوصية الثانية أن نتوكل على الله سبحانه وتعالى حق التوكل، فبالتوكل هو الذي هو يأتي النصر إن شاء الله. وكذلك أوصي إخواني بإذن الله بعد الشهر الصاعد أمرائهم حتى لا يكون سبب من الهزيمة كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم.
Al-Battar al-Yamani, Operation Miracle, July 1995.
His brother, he was in the communist army of Yemen, and they sent him to Cuba because he was a tank expert. They sent him to Cuba to train in the tanks, and he learned the ins and outs of tanks. He knew everything about the tanks. And after becoming a good practicing Muslim, he went to Afghanistan, spent many years there in the fighting of Afghanistan. After that, he returned to Yemen, and when Bosnia started, he came down. He had the opportunity to come, he came. And he wished, his wish was that he would take a tank in the actual fighting, take a tank, Ghanima, and use it. And in the second operation, the brothers had captured the tank, and they called him down, and he went to the front and took it right from underneath the Serbs' noses as they were trying to destroy this tank, because the Serbs knew that they'd lost it, but they didn't want the Mujahideen to take it. So he took the tank from right underneath their noses, drove it out from there, and took it back to the back lines where it would be safe. and he got injured in the process, but he returned. He didn't rest. He went back with his injury back to the front line, and he was taken by Allah. Allah took him as shaheed, as a mortar bomb exploded close to him and took him as shaheed.
One brother describes when he was with Batar, and Batar was injured in his hand, and he still drove the tank and took it from beneath the noses of the Serbs and drove it all the way back down, and nothing happened to him. The brother who was with him said to Batar that, "Batar, we don't deserve, we are not good enough to be shaheed." As both of them were injured, one brother decided to go back and have his injury attended to, as the fighting and the operation was now over. But Batar said no, said, "I want to go back." And he went back up, and they went back to get. They were in one bunker when they went to get one of their injured brothers, and a mortar bomb landed right inside the bunker. And Batar, 4 hours later after the operation, he was taken shaheed, inshallah. Batar speaking before Operation Miracle, in which he was killed shaheed.
بس ان الاصابه داخله مثلا بس يمكن داخله في القلب هذا الشهاده قربت وهذا شهدت وهللت هكذا وخلاص ذكر الله هذا وقلت خلاص انا انتظر الان خلاص ان تطلع روحي فانتظرت كنت منتظر نقول الحور منتظر الحور يعني فالاخوه شالين هكذا ونقول الحور ونقول في نفسي ننتظر نقول الان الحور بتيجي تمس علي الا وصحيت نام فقت من الدوخه صحيت ومشينا والله نشوف الدنيا كلها الحاوه قلت لهم نزلونا بس نزلونا قال انتظر بعدك شويه من الضربه قلت له احنا نزلونا 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 الخط
Abu Muslim Al-Amarati, Operation Miracle, July 1995.
He's not gonna chat, alhamdulillah. But one summer he just he changed. He became extremely extremely fierce in his fighting, and in his braveness he became extremely brave. And he would go out on reconnaissance missions by himself and bring back like plastic bags full of mines that he had like pulled out and then searched for and brought back. And this brother, subhanAllah, he left his country and his wife was pregnant, and he left his country still and came to jihad. And he had a son that he had never seen before. And the son had grown up and had become a few months old. And he still hadn't seen his son, never seen him before. And so he said to him, Abu Muslim said to himself, after this operation, this second operation, he would go back and see his family. So anyway, in this operation, the brother, alhamdulillah, his group managed to capture a tank from the Serbs. And after capturing the tank, they went forward, and Allah took him as shaheed. So he didn't see his family in this world, but inshallah Allah will reunite them in the next world, and to be able to...
ايوه وقد أرهبكم بالنباح وبالصياح.
Ibn al-Walid Misri, Operation Miracle, July 1995. A very young, active and fit brother. He used to love to train himself so that he could inflict as much damage upon the enemy as possible. When the attack started, he ran so fast that he went straight through the Serb lines and he went deep into their territory. So he was fighting inside their territory and he managed to kill 4 of the Serbs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him as shaheed. Abu Musa al-Turki, cameraman of the Mujahideen, Operation Miracle, July 1995. Born to Turkish parents in Germany, his parents did not have enough money to bring him up, and so they sold him to a German family. He was brought up as a German non-Muslim, a good student and a very well-behaved child. No one could tell what he really was due to his fair skin color. All of a sudden, when he reached the age of 13, his life turned upside down. He began to misbehave and became confused. Something inside him was telling him that he was not German, but something else. This went on for 3 years, until during an argument with his German mother, she told him the truth that he was not her son. She was still in contact with his Turkish parents, and so he went back to them and began to live with them. After a few years, at the age of 21, he traveled to Bosnia.
This brother, he had some experience in how to make video films and mix videotapes. So in Bosnia, they made him the cameraman in the operation. So along with the Kalashnikov and his weapons, he'd carry a camera. And this brother, I witnessed this brother, he would be in the front of the attacks with his camera, fighting and even reaching the bunkers of the Serbs before the rest of the brothers. And he'd be standing on top of the bunker of the Serbs, and the Serbs would still be shooting from out of the window of the bunker, shooting out. And he'd be filming on top. And he said to me, he reached the bunker, and he said to me, I thought whether I should throw a grenade inside or put the camera inside. And he said he put the camera inside so that he could get the best possible pictures, so that he could mix the best film, so that he could send it back to the other brothers that do not know anything about jihad, that don't know anything about jihad, so that they could see the jihad in their televisions and find out and learn about jihad. So that was his intention. He wanted to make the best possible videotapes, and so he was always in the front with his camera fighting. And in the second operation, Allah gave him shahada, inshallah.
وحق إنما نعليه بالبيض الصفاحي عار عليكم أن تعيشوا في العويل وفي النوح وخصومكم قد أرهبكم بالنباح وبالصيام.
أبو المنذر اليمني, Operation Miracle, July 1995. This brother was in one of the attack groups during Operation Miracle. Due to the heavy fighting, this Mujahideen group had their heads down. Abu al-Munzir put his head up for one moment to look where the firing was coming from, and he was shot by a single bullet to his forehead. One day later, after he was killed, one brother saw him in a dream and asked him, "Abu al-Munzir, what happened to you?" And he replied that, "I was near the bunker and there was heavy firing, and I put my head up to see where the firing was coming from. And as I was looking around, looking for the bunker, I felt something tap me on my forehead. And then I saw myself looking in the paradise." Abu Umar al-Harbi from Madinah al-Munawwara, Operation Miracle, July 1995.
He came to the front line and he never went back. For 2 years he spent in the front line and never wanted to ever once go back to the city camp, where you have the dunya, you have the shops, all the good things of the dunya, but he never ever wanted to go back there. He spent all his time in the camp, and even when he wanted something from there, he would tell the brothers to get this from there, get this from his bags which he had in the storeroom there, get this and that. And this brother, he never went back. And then this brother, mashallah, he always used to make the brothers laugh so much, because he liked to make the brothers laugh and enjoy themselves, but in a good halal way, obviously. You look at him, he looks like a joker, but in the fight he's like a lion. In the second operation, the brothers, they made an attack, and that place was an extremely dangerous place, extremely open place, full of mines. The Serbs can see you from coming from a very clear and open place, and the brothers, they made an attack in this place. And he was the commander, the head of this group which was making the attack. And the brother was asking, as they were running across this clear open space, "Are there any mines?" And he screamed back to him, "Allahu Akbar," and they just ran right through the minefield towards the Serbs bunkers. And as he was coming towards the bunkers, he was shot straight in the forehead by a Serb, and he fell to be shaheed, inshallah. And this brother, apparently some brothers have seen him in a dream, and he appeared to them, and his face was extremely white. And they asked him, "What happened to you?" He said, "The night before, we was in the bunker on the mountain, waiting for the attack, and he fell asleep, and he had janabah. So then he went, and there was no way for him to have a bath on the mountain. So in this situation, you just go, you make tayammum, and you pray, and you go, and because the jihad is more important than to return from the mountain to have a bath. And he is the emir of the whole group, to delay the operation, no way." So he went inside the operation with janabah, and he was shaheed. And he said that as he was shot, he didn't feel anything. He felt something just touch him on the template, on his forehead, and then he felt and then he said he felt two like beings holding one from either side and take him straight up in the sky. Straight, very fast, and without tilting him in any direction, they took him straight, like straight into the sky. And he said that the angels, they gave him his usul, just like in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that the angels gave him the usul. Another brother called Abu Munzir al-Yamani.
Abu Umar al-Harbi speaking one day before Operation Miracle, in which he was taken shaheed.
معنا الحبيب الحربي أبو عمر الحربي ف فليتفضل مشروك مشروك يلا حبيب
كتاب أقول
قول لك نفسك بعد بعد بعد
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته من أرض البوسنة نحييكم والأمير نادينا ندعو الله أن يجمعنا وياكم في جنات النعيم أوصيكم بتقوى الله وشعوري إن شاء الله أن ابن عاشر الصرب نبتلهم به بإذن الله
لا تحمل سلاحي إني وفيت ربنا والدينا فاسأل
Salman Farsi, Operation Miracle, July 1995.
This brother, mashallah, he loved his training. He loved to train vis-a-vis love so that he could be as strong and as tough and the best in the fighting as he could be, so that he could do as much damage to the kuffar as possible. But his brother always used to exert himself in training with this intention of damaging the kuffar. The brother was, mashallah, a very big brother. He was a formidable sight, because on his back he had strapped on his chest rig, on his back he had strapped a massive sword of at least the length of an arm, which as you look at him, you can see the handle of it sticking from behind his head and in between his head and his shoulder. And he used to wear a black scarf tied on his head, and he was just a formidable sight when you looked at him. And this brother, when you talk to him, all he ever talks about is shahada, just martyrdom in the paradise, all the time. This is all he could ever talk about. Nothing else would ever interest him apart from shahada in the paradise. In the second operation, I saw his chest rig, because his chest rig was very distinctive, because the only one with a sword on strapped to the back. And he'd been killed, but they'd taken his body, so I didn't see his body, but I saw his chest rig. So me and four other brothers, we picked it up and we smelled it, and the perfume, strong perfume, was coming from his blood. And all of us looked at each other in amazement. It's like, it's not, we've heard stories of this perfume, we've heard stories of like brother's blood smelling of perfume. We never doubted it, but we never experienced it firsthand properly. And we were smelling this now in front of us, and the two Bosnian army soldiers were there as well, and they smelled it as well. No mistaking it, a strong perfume that cannot compare it to any of the perfumes of this world. But as you smell this perfume, it relaxes you and you feel relaxed. Inshallah, the brother, this is a good sign for him that he is shaheed, and it's a sign for the brothers that saw this perfume that this is the right path and to have sabr on this path. Abu Thabit al-Muhajir, Amir of the front line, Operation Badr of Bosnia, 10th of September, 1995. Brother spent 6 years in Afghanistan. Before that, he was a very, very experienced soldier in the Egyptian army. Went to Afghanistan, spent 6 years there training the brothers fighting in Afghanistan. Very experienced fighter. Came to Bosnia, and he was the emir. And this brother was so tough, so brave, that when he fought, he wouldn't even duck from the bullets. That's how fearless he was. And this brother, he was a commander, and he was such a strong character that you couldn't help love him. That he made you feel like you was his favorite friend. Everybody was, he used to make everybody feel as if he was their favorite friend. And his character was just when you look at him, you think you're looking at a Sahaba. And this brother, in the attack, in the third operation, he was injured, and he didn't even shout out in pain, but he carried on the attack, he carried on fighting, and then a second shot took him a shahid. From Yemen.
Abu Thabit. ثابت ابو ثابت
انا ابو نعمان ارسل
انت الاخبار عندك انت الاخبار عندك
معنا ابو نعمان
نعم معك ارسل يا ابو ثابت انت اخبار عندكم
ترى كل شيء ماشي تمام
بلغوك النتائج الاخوه
The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, no person who has entered paradise would like to return to this world, even if he may be given all that the world contains except a martyr. He yearns that he may return to the world and be killed 10 times for the sake of Allah on account of the honor that he experiences by virtue of his martyrdom.
عزام عزام
لن أغادر أرض الجهاد إلا
sound recording brings you to the end of this first audio cassette in the hearts of green birds, the martyrs of Bosnia. Tape 2, the sequel to this cassette, will inshallah include accounts of Abu Mujahid al-Bridani, the graduate from the University of North London, who was killed in the Operation Brother of Bosnia, 10th of September, 1995. Sheikh Anwar Sha'ban, the Sheikh of the Mujahideen, Al-Mu'tazu Billah, the military commander of the Mujahideen, Dr. Abul Harith al-Libi, Amir of the Mujahideen for 1.5 years, Abu Ziyad al-Najdi, the engineering undergraduate from Riyadh, Amir of the Foreign Volunteers after Abu Mu'adh al-Kuwaiti, Abu Hammam al-Najdi, commander of the frontline base camp, and Sayyad al-Falastini, the 18-year-old A-level student from South London. As Sheikh Abdullah Azam rahmatullah alayhi said, هي ميتة واحدة فلتكن في سبيل الله, that there is only one death, so let it be in the battlefield. For further information and other audio cassettes and video cassettes which contain many of the brothers mentioned in this audio cassette and books by Sheikh Abdullah Azam rahmatullah alayh and other scholars of jihad, contact Azam Publications on numeric pager 0839616372. You may also email us on azam@spuddy.com. www.mew.co.uk or send us a letter on Azam Publications, BCM Uhud, UHUD, London, WC1N3XX.
يا طيبة المختار إنك مشعل بين الضياء وبنوك قد فاقوا البرايا فاهتفي يا ذا الفخار.
South London, 2nd of November, 1900.